The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, I think tonight, coming into this game, your worst fears were confirmed and came to realization when you knew it was going to be a very game and agitated Golden State Warriors team, a motivated Warriors team who lost by more than 50 points their last time out there on the floor at the hands of the Boston Celtics. And that's the remarkable part, is the Warriors won tonight by 35 points and yet still have a negative 17 point margin in their last two games. But I think the most remarkable part of this tonight was this wasn't like a lot of the Warriors Avalanche games where you would really point to Steph Curry's individual performance. Not to say Steph Curry wasn't good tonight. He was. Led all scorers with 29 points and a rather quiet 6 3-pointers made. But this one, in a lot of ways, felt like the performances that the Bucks got a couple of days ago against the Los Angeles Clippers in that comeback win, where it was just across the board. You think about the impact that Pat Beverly gave you for moments in that game, Bobby Portis and what he brought. And look, Bobby Portis was maybe the one thing keeping this from being a 30-point game in the first half. But it was just across the board. And I joked about it on the network broadcast, but Trace Jackson Davis now joins an exclusive club, which I believe is just he and Jonathan Isaac. It's the only players, at least in recent memory, to record 3 blocks on Giannis in a single game. But Trace Jackson Davis did that. He brought a lot of energy, rebounding, plays around the rim. Brandon Pajemski, again, with this Warriors team, a lot of Wisconsin ties. Brandon Pajemski had a big game. That's the misnomer about this Warriors team, too. They are not big. They are a small team. They still rebound very well. Now, part of that is long rebounds on missed threes, but they have guys, and the Bucks had this for years, too, when you think back to the Bucks' success these last 5-plus years. They have a lot of guys that are good rebounding guards and good rebounders for their size. Gary Payton II. Brandon Pajemski is showing that capability so far this season as well. Steph Curry pulled down quite a bit of rebounds in this game. Everything went the way of the Golden State Warriors in this one, and that's the most discouraging part, is you knew what to expect from the Warriors, and it felt like you still had no answer. There were stretches of this game where the Bucks really let things get away. I thought they did a pretty good job, all things considered, in the first half of not letting go of the rope and not letting what we saw the final score eventually become, not letting that happen sooner. But I think what you would really point to is the midpoint of the third quarter when everything was going the Bucks' way. They were playing with a different energy. They looked a lot better defensively. They were more locked in, more connected. They cleaned up a lot of the transition issues they had in the first half. They were causing turnovers and misses. And you knew the Warriors weren't going to shoot 60-plus percent for the game. They still finished pretty close. But you knew those numbers would come down at least a little bit, and the Bucks took advantage of it. But once you got the margin down to 6, the Bucks' offense became an issue. And again, it's tough to make a full assessment of this group on that end of the floor until you get Chris Middleton back. And Doc Rivers talked a little bit about that before the game as well. We'll get into some of those comments. But it's just tough to make that assessment until this team is fully healthy and Chris Middleton is back. He's a huge part of that offense, especially the half-court offense. That's what struggled the most in this second half, because you should have been fully back in the game. And as soon as it got down to 6, Warriors closed out the game spectacularly. Outscored you by 29 in those final 18 minutes. The Bucks only scored 12 points in those final 18 minutes. A 41-12 run by the Warriors to close out the game in 18 minutes and just 9 points in the fourth quarter. I understand the last half of that quarter was what we would call garbage time, where you pulled your regulars and you were just emptying the bench. But 9 points in a quarter and 12 points over an 18-minute stretch is simply not good enough. So it's another area where you really desperately need Chris Middleton back on the floor. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us this morning on Bucks Talk as we continue to dig into the numbers after a very, very tough loss against the Golden State Warriors. And look, I said before the road trip began, we'll explore some of these comments as well. I said before the road trip began, you know, these four teams, you do kind of match up pretty well with all four of these teams. And a day after saying that, the Bucks open up the road trip with a 35-point loss to one of those four teams. 855-616-1620, the number to join us. More after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. A round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Tough one tonight. Last night in San Francisco, the Bucks get blown out by the Warriors. 125-90 final score. And look, you knew one of these was bound to come sooner or later. I don't know about a 35-point loss. You knew a loss, period, was going to come relatively soon. Six-game win streak. Pat Beverly joked with us. The goal was 10. Didn't quite get there. It's a Warriors team that's been playing a lot better. And that dates back to the end of January. And they're in one of those interesting spots. We mentioned the differences between the East and the West with those play-in tournament teams. You know, you look at those teams in the Western Conference play-in tournament, it's a lot different to be looking at those Eastern Conference teams where if you're the one seed, you look and you say, man, I wouldn't be opposed to the 9 or 10 seed getting through and winning. Because right now the 9 seed is the Bulls, the 10 seed is the Atlanta Hawks. The Sixers and the Pacers are 7 and 8, and we mention this because at this moment the Bucks are still the 2 seed. They're 41-22, the Cavaliers are 40-22. Now, there are some important caveats to throw out there. The loss column is the important thing to look at from this point forward. You can't get rid of losses. They're there. You can add wins, right? You can change the win total. You can't change the loss total. So we always look at the loss column. The Bucks and the Cavs are tied. They both have 22 losses. The Cavs are likely, well, I don't know if I should say likely, but there's a good chance the Cavs are going to end up winning the tiebreaker because of divisional record. Cavs have 2 games left. They're both against the Pacers. Bucks are going to finish with a 10-7 divisional record. The Cavs are 9-5, so you need the Cavs to lose both of those games against the Indiana Pacers to finish 9-7 in the Central, and you would win the head-to-head tiebreaker if these two teams finish tied. Now, what complicates things is the Cavaliers do have an easier schedule remaining than the Bucks. But the Cavaliers are starting to deal with quite a bit of injuries. I mentioned Donovan Mitchell had a PRP injection in his knee. The timeline they gave was he's going to miss the next 3 games. Tonight was the 2nd game. Friday night against the Minnesota Timberwolves is the 3rd game. I got to believe it's going to be more than 3 games if you have an injection into your knee. Also last night they lost Evan Mobley. And it sounds like that's going to be some time with an ankle injury. So the injuries are starting to pile up for the Cavaliers. They do have a middle-of-the-pack schedule left in terms of all of the NBA. 13th overall. Bucks still have the most challenging schedule left in the East. The 3rd most difficult schedule left in all of basketball, behind only the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. But you're now starting to see some of those teams who could potentially be first-round matchups for the Bucks moving up there closer towards that line where the Bucks are in terms of difficult remaining schedules. The Indiana Pacers have now the 7th most difficult remaining schedule, 3rd most difficult in the Eastern Conference. The Philadelphia 76ers, 4th most difficult remaining schedule in the East, 12th overall. Then you have the Cavaliers, the New York Knicks, just below the Cavaliers. But if you're the Bucks, this could be another year where you're getting one of those play-in tournament teams. Now, last year, you were the one seed, and you know, I hesitate to say it's not a fortuitous spot to be in because you're still the one seed and you would have home court advantage throughout every round, or at least in the Eastern Conference in the postseason. But, you know, that added wrinkle is you don't know who your opponent is until Friday night and you play your first game on Sunday. If you are the two seed, you find out who you're playing, I believe, Wednesday, either Tuesday or Wednesday. Because, again, seven plays eight. The winner of that game is the seventh seed. So right there, you know who you're playing, and you have close to a week to prepare. The Bucks were in the spot last year. You knew it's going to be one of these four teams. And as things start to advance, you see, okay, it's not going to be the Atlanta Hawks, who just won and got out of this. All right, so we can shift our focus to these teams, to the Toronto Raptors, the Miami Heat, to the Chicago Bulls. So one by one, you can start to pick those teams off. And even Friday night and Thursday, going into Friday, you know it's one of these two teams, so you're preparing for that. But you don't know for sure until Friday. That's the advantage you would have of finishing second versus first. Finishing third, you know, what, April 14th, I believe it is, whenever the regular season ends, you know that night, okay, here's who we're going to be playing. For the three seed, we get the six seed. For the four seed, we get the five seed. I don't think the Bucks are going to drop down to four now because of what we just went through. You have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Knicks. You're already four games up in the loss column. You got one game left against the Knicks, too. You're basically five up in the loss column with that tiebreaker and a chance to push it even further with the head-to-head matchup. You have the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Miami Heat. You're four games up in the loss column on the Miami Heat. You have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Philadelphia 76ers. You're five up in the loss column on the Sixers. The one you don't have, or the two, I should say, you don't have the tiebreakers on at this moment are the Cavaliers. And again, that could change depending on those two games the Cavs have against the Indiana Pacers. And the Orlando Magic, you have two games left against. So you don't have it yet. You could still win it. You could still lose it. But those are the interesting teams for the Bucks from here on out. We'll take a look at some of these projections. Playoff status has been fairly accurate. I know we referenced it quite a bit right around this time, moving towards the playoffs last year when we were all keeping an eye on can the Bucks catch the Celtics. They did. Can they hold them off and get the one seed? We used playoff status for quite a bit of their projections. We'll take a look at what playoff status has here, the latest of where they think the Bucks will finish and what that could potentially mean in terms of first-round matchups and your postseason path. We'll get into that conversation after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, so at this very moment, the Bucks are still projected to be the three seed, slightly. And this is up to date after the games played tonight. These models still favor the Cavaliers to finish with the second best record in the East, but just slightly. 44% chance of the two seed for the Cavs, 43% chance of the two seed for the Bucks. That is, though, the highest odds for any seed the Bucks have. 43% second seed, 34% third seed. It is now just a 15% chance that the Bucks would slide down below that 2-3 line. And for the group that was very concerned as we went into the All-Star break that now the Bucks are going to be in the play-in tournament, there is less than a 1% chance the Bucks will drop down to the seventh seed. But at this moment, the Celtics are going to be the one seed, but the numbers are still in the favor of the Cavaliers. This does not take injuries into account, and we just went through the players and the absences that the Cavaliers are just dealing with now. And again, a very tough matchup that they have Friday against the Timberwolves. They got a game against the Suns a couple of days after that. So the most difficult stretch of games for the Cavaliers is really right now. But there's a very, very good chance, basically 80% odds you're going to be either second or third. Same for the Cavaliers. Although, again, it's not taking injuries into account. So I would be curious to see, after a couple of days, if we see the Orlando Magic start to move up more and more. Again, the Magic have an easy schedule. Just looking at overall strength of schedule left for all these teams, the Boston Celtics have the easiest schedule left. An opponent win percentage of 43% the rest of the way. The Orlando Magic, an easier schedule than the Bucks, easier schedule than the Cavs, easier schedule than the 76ers. All of these teams that you need to keep an eye on. Magic are 22nd in terms of most difficult schedule remaining. Miami Heat are another team we got to keep an eye on in terms of seeding. They have the 27th most difficult schedule left. But the numbers are starting to indicate, look, the Bucks are going to finish second or third. Now, if the season were to end today, you'd be the 2 seed. And again, you would get the winner of either the Philadelphia 76ers or the Indiana Pacers. Now, Joel Embiid is going to come back, right? We heard the report a week ago that there is a lot of optimism Joel Embiid will be back before the playoffs. Probably late March, maybe early April. So he's going to get some games in before the postseason, and he will be on the floor for the postseason. That is one of the concerns for seeding, is keeping an eye. Last year it was, man, you really don't want to play the Miami Heat if you can avoid them. Now it's that still applies. They may not be as good as they were a season ago. They lost some key players. Max Strus is gone, right? But if you can avoid the Miami Heat, you certainly want to do that. Joel Embiid and the 76ers are in that category for me as well, even though they have struggled. Those struggles have been because they're playing without Joel Embiid. He has been a cheat code this season with the way he has played. He has been the best offensive player in the league. You get him back, you get him on the floor. That is not a first-round matchup any team, especially a high seed, wants to have. And there is a possibility of that. Again, if the season were to end today, you're playing either the 76ers or the Pacers. Pacers won 4 out of 5 games against you earlier this season. That was before a coaching change. That was when this team was experiencing quite a bit of issues, shall we say, with getting back in transition, how they defended, fast break points, transition baskets, all of that, connectivity on defense. They weren't at their best during those 5 games against the Indiana Pacers. It is a much different group since we've seen this team wrap up their regular season series with the Pacers in early January. I don't feel as strongly, and I think a lot of Bucks fans, even after you drop 4 out of 5 games against the Pacers, said, I mean, I still like our chances in the postseason. That applies, and I think even more so now. The Pacers have been a little bit of a different team. Tyrese Halliburton hasn't been quite as efficient. I think some injuries have played a factor in that as well. But the last month or so doesn't appear to be the same guy. The Bucks are certainly a different team. You would clearly want the Pacers, regardless of the 1 win in 5 matchups, you would clearly want the Indiana Pacers in that series. But that's the challenge of these final 5 to 6 weeks of the regular season is, you know, you have no idea who it's going to be. In very many ways, it's like the Western Conference playoffs. When you look at how bunched up those teams are, the Magic, the Knicks, the Heat, the Sixers, and the Pacers, those teams, that represents 4 through 8 in the Eastern Conference. They are separated by 2 games in the loss column. So it could literally be any of those teams that you are facing in the first round of the postseason. With how much time is left and how many teams there are, it's not worth the exercise to rank, well, I'd rather play this team or this team or this team. But there's going to be some interesting things that come into play these final few weeks of the season. Again, you're in a good spot with a lot of these teams. You're in no danger of being caught by the Pacers or the 76ers. And at this point, by the New York Knicks, I don't think, because of those tiebreakers. Cavaliers are certainly a different story. health is starting to turn against them. The Orlando Magic, given their schedule and the fact that they have two games left against you, that is a different story as well. And I know I just said, look, it's not worth it at this point and early on to start to say I'd rather play this team than this team. But the interesting part is I think if you surveyed Bucks fans, it would probably be maybe unanimous if I told you those four teams, even more than that, those six teams essentially, because the Cavs and Magic are still open to this as well. The Cavs, the Magic, the Knicks, the Heat, the Sixers, the Pacers, those are your teams. Who's the team that you would want to play in the first round if you had your choice? I think it'd be close to unanimous. The Orlando Magic would be who most Bucks fans would cite. And there's a decent chance the Magic could finish second or third now. So that would potentially be your second round opponent. So still a lot of work to be done, a lot of moving parts in the Eastern Conference. It wasn't fun what we saw tonight. But look, famous last words or not, I know I said before the road trip, I like the way the Bucks match up against all four of these teams. I still do. And I still like the way the Bucks match up against the remaining teams on this schedule. But tonight, once again, as if we needed any reminder of it, tonight, once again, just proved how much you need Chris Middleton back on the floor. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I will revisit some of those comments by Doc Rivers that he made before the game about Chris Middleton, about Giannis as well, who I think a lot of us were surprised to see Giannis back on the floor tonight. We'll get into that after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Well, a tough one for the Bucks in San Francisco. 35-point loss to the Golden State Warriors. A couple of big runs for the Warriors. That run late in the first quarter, mid to late in the first quarter. Up-tempo offense for both of these teams. Not surprising from the Warriors, but the way the Bucks were getting in transition and pushing the pace, we didn't see a lot of that. We have not seen a lot of that. And I think that's one of the misnomers with the Bucks is they're not an up-tempo team. And Doc Rivers has talked about that too, with the pace that, you know, people have noted. Pace has fallen off a little bit for the Bucks. Doc Rivers talked about that before the Clippers game and said, I mean, I don't really focus on the pace. I just like to see the ball movement and the type of shots that we're creating. Damian Lillard, you know, isn't a high-paced player. He likes to play slow and get into his shots. And when that's the case, we're probably going to be a slower offense. Oh, by the way, it's the oldest team in the league, too. That factors into it. But the Bucks were uncharacteristically a fast-paced offense for the first 6 or 7 minutes in this game. Then the Warriors started to go on a run and separate themselves. And, of course, the big one was what they did the final 18-plus minutes of the game, outscoring the Bucks 41-12. And most discouraging was that came immediately after you sliced it from 20-6 in less than 6 minutes. A 41-12 run by the Warriors after that to close out the game. I'm going to say it again. Chris Middleton's absence is what stood out the most in this game. When you look at offense, offense to me was what lost this game. And look, the defense certainly needed to improve from the first half to the second half. You saw that in that stretch where you knocked the margin down to six. Where it was lost was, and this is exactly what we talked about in the postseason the last couple of years, you can come up with stops. Your defense can be the best in the league, and you can get stop after stop after stop after stop. But sooner or later, that well is going to run dry, and you have to score. You can't win a game 0-0. You got to score at some point. And once the Bucks knocked the margin down to six, they just couldn't execute. They could not score. You think about the turnovers and empty possessions that they had after that. So instead of going into the fourth quarter in a two-possession game or even three and keeping it under double figures, it was right back up to 12. And then very, very early in the fourth quarter, it's up to 20. It would eventually grow to 35. You need Chris Middleton. You need him to help that half-court offense. You need him to help keep those bench units afloat as well. You've gotten good contributions from Pat Beverly, from Bobby Portis. You need somebody else there. I know Pat Beverly's an organizer. I know what he brings defensively. Chris Middleton has been the ultimate connector for this team, and that's what they were missing tonight. I thought it was very glaring. So hopefully we'll see Chris Middleton at some point on this road trip. We'll wrap up the show and preview what's up next Friday night in Los Angeles against the Lakers. We'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Ain't no way they can stop me now.
All right, the Bucks look to regroup Friday night in Los Angeles against the Lakers. It is their first of two games in L.A. It is an interesting stretch in the schedule as well, where you play three consecutive Friday nights, and all three of those are 9 p.m. tips. 9 p.m. Friday nights, 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and then another 9 p.m. tip on Tuesday in Sacramento against the Kings. The other thing of note is this. While it is a challenging schedule from here on out, again, third most difficult in the NBA, toughest schedule of any team in the Eastern Conference, there are some potentially very important games on there. Those two that you have left against the Orlando Magic very late in the season. You are going to catch some breaks too. A Sunday afternoon, case in point, another game that is a back-to-back for the Clippers. Now, they play Saturday afternoon, so it's not a Saturday night into Sunday afternoon, but another back-to-back for the Clippers. You have two games left against the Boston Celtics, I should say, but you know that game in April, the Celtics are likely to have locked up home court advantage through the playoffs in all likelihood, but at least locked up the one seed in the Eastern Conference, and that's going to be a relatively meaningless game. It's late in the season. Who knows who's going to play for Boston? Potentially the same with that matchup you have late in the season against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the one thing you know, because those are still unknowns, and there's a lot of variables that determine those, what you do know is while your March schedule is challenging, 14 games, only one of those 14 is against the team that is outside of the top 10, outside of the postseason in their conference. Yeah, quite a bit of off days. Three separate instances of 2 days off between games. And again, you don't necessarily go through full-scale practices, but especially, as we just stressed, the importance of getting Chris Middleton back, of working on some of these things and reinstalling some things. Having 2 days off, and especially those that line up with home games, which two of those do, is going to be huge for this team. Friday night, another 9 o'clock tip. 8:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk to you once again Friday night.